Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Looks like the weather is slowly getting, I guess you could say, better by the fact that we're not going to have as much rain this weekend. So I guess that's good news. On today's show, Muammar Gaddafi is dead. But does that mean the fighting in Libya is over? I'll talk to a U of M professor who grew up in Libya to get his perspective about today's news. And business may be tough in Michigan right now, but have you considered franchising? I'll talk to a CEO running a business with over 200 franchise locations who says now is the perfect time to start. But first, proposed reforms to the state education system keep on coming with a new proposal to cap the salaries of public school superintendents. The sponsor of the bill, Republican State Representative Kurt Heise from Plymouth, is now joining me. He's also a member of the Education Committee. Welcome to the program, Kurt.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, let's begin with your proposal to cap superintendent salaries at the level that the state superintendent is paid, although aren't those salaries decided by school district officials, and shouldn't those decisions be made locally?
Yeah, there's certainly an argument to be made that this is a part of local control, but I have to tell you, where I live, I'm in the Plymouth-Canton School District, and if you look at historically the salaries of the school superintendent, when you add up salaries and benefits, has been over $300,000. There are other districts that are in the high 200s and low 300s. I think that is excessive, especially at a time when we are asking teachers and parapros, bus drivers, and other school employees to pay more for health care and to make sacrifices to get us through these tough times.
One thing we see across the board, especially in the corporate world, is that the head of any large organization seems to be paid quite well. In the corporate world, it could be tens of millions of dollars. I mean, aren't we likely to lose some really talented superintendents to other states that don't have this kind of cap and can pay the necessary salary to attract the best candidates?
Well, that's an argument which I'm not sure really carries a lot of water nowadays. If under my bill, the salary would be set at the level of the state school superintendent, which is over $180,000, I think that is a more than adequate number to attract good qualified people who would be willing to lead school districts. And the other part of my bill also removes the education requirements for school superintendents so that we can start going into the private sector and look at hiring retired CEOs or other people who have been proven effective in nonprofit or for-profit businesses.
I do wonder, though, if a school district and parents and officials feel that a superintendent is being overpaid, don't they have the power to reduce the salary on their own terms?
Well, we've learned historically that it's once a salary has been set, it's very difficult to take that back. Certainly, there are in collective bargaining that happens, but when you're dealing with individual employment contracts for highly compensated folks like superintendents, once you've done it, it's very hard to undo it. And I think by setting caps, then both the public and the prospective superintendent will know what they are, what they're walking into from a compensation package.
Now, you also say the current state requirements for hiring superintendents are too restrictive. Which aspects of those requirements are you calling to have broadened?
Well, the requirements of the State Board of Education require some type of education certification, a master's degree or higher. Plus, they also have to pass a test of educational excellence that's administered by the state or by a school or university. This really, to me, limits the pool of potential applicants that we could have as school superintendents. Frankly, where I am and other places in the state, I'm hearing stories that school boards are having a hard time finding applicants who will comply or match these extra educational requirements. Meanwhile, you know, we've got CEOs, retired CEOs, abundant in the state, people who have proven themselves in the private sector or in a nonprofit, and they're not qualified. And I just think that's wrong.
I'm talking to Republican State Representative Kurt Heise from Plymouth, and he's also a member of the Education Committee. So I do want to talk about other aspects of the education reform efforts here in Michigan. One of the key parts of that is expanding charter schools. And, you know, initially charters were meant to be limited, and they were considered a place for experimentation and innovation within the public school system. Now, according to Forbes magazine, 80% of our charter schools here in Michigan are now for-profit. Are we heading into a future in Michigan with a generally for-profit education system?
Well, profit is very interesting to define. The way most charter schools are run, that may be the argument. But even in the traditional public school setting, you still have highly compensated administrators, teachers, and others who administer the education program. So the term profit, you know, often gets a bad word, but it can also be seen in terms of total compensation for the people providing the service. And when we're talking about charters, I have two children, and they're in the public school system. I don't choose to send my kids to a charter school because I think in where I live, the public schools are doing a good job. But that's not the true case all over the state. We have people in failing school districts, and I think that those parents deserve the freedom and the option to send their kids to a school where they are going to excel mm-hmm. and where the parents can be involved.
Well, in fact, I know in the Senate there's a bill called the Parent Trigger Bill, which is moving forward, which would allow public schools to offer or to be offered, that is, to charter school authorizers if at least 60% of parents agree to make the move, and schools would have to be in the lowest performing 5% to be eligible. Although, you know, the MEA, the Michigan Education Association, says it's really a false premise that students would perform better just suddenly. Isn't that in that case actually true that just because we transfer a public school to a charter school, we wouldn't necessarily see students suddenly performing that much better, would we?
I think really the culture would change. I think I'm familiar with the bill that you're talking about. Those bills were approved in the Senate, and they're now over in the House Education Committee. We haven't started hearings on any of these bills yet. We're really kind of looking at them this week for the first time. But from what I understand so far, this would be in a fairly limited situation where you've got a failing district, a failing school, and basically parents and in some cases teachers who want to alter the experiment basically and take it into a charter type of environment. And I think in that kind of limited circumstance, if you've got that kind of parental and faculty buy-in, I think it really would change the culture of that particular school. And, you know, we're realistic. I don't know if you're going to see test scores radically change overnight, but I think it's the idea that the parents, faculty, and maybe the whole community in that school would be more empowered and more motivated to change the culture and improve performance.
Now, I know the MEA, which is the state's largest teachers union, has been up in arms over most of the education reform initiatives being considered at the Capitol. And I'll say that I myself have not gotten any return phone calls from their reps to give me their side of the story. How much of a voice does the MEA have among lawmakers at this point?
Well, they're certainly a major factor in the political debate in Lansing right now. It's no secret that they've taken an active role in the Paul Scott recall, and Paul, of course, is the chairman of the House Education Committee. But recently, in the last few months, we worked on teacher tenure reform, and the MEA did not offer any testimony, written or verbal. And they were not part of the debate, and I think that's wrong. And I think when you're I'm not anti-union. I just think that unions, whoever you are, you've got to engage the legislative process, and you've got to want to be part of that process. And we've seen success when we work with both sides of the aisle to come up with reforms in labor law that both sides can live with. And you know, I think the MEA has missed some opportunities to be part of the debate. And that really is a disservice to their membership in the long run.
I just have a minute. I do want to ask you, I know the no-fault car insurance law, or the law that would reform that law and reverse our state's uncapped personal injury protection, is now out of committee. The House will probably vote on it this fall at some point. Do you support this type of a bill? I know Michigan voters have already shown that they remain they are opposed to changing this law. What's your position on it?
Well, we're still doing our homework on that one. It's a very contentious issue. I've had more phone calls and emails to my office in the last 2 weeks on that issue than anything else. So it's very emotional. It's a very personal issue to many people. What we're trying to do is balance the interest of the consumer. The consumer wants value, and they want to make sure that they're paying for a product. In this case, health insurance, that's going to be there for them when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we're also being told by the Michigan Insurance Commissioner that the current system is approaching insolvency.
But haven't the insurance companies not been upfront with the actual information as to exactly how much money they're losing, or what the actual status of their financial situation is?
I've heard that argument, and frankly, we're still trying to research that. And that's why I don't have a position on the bill yet, because I think we're doing our due diligence. And, those are questions that are out there right now, and we're trying to get more information.
Republican State Representative Kurt Heise from Plymouth, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, thanks a lot. Have a